The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined in studio by Kevin Byrne, who's a regular on Aviation Matters here. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we want to talk Boeing once again, but for once there's some good news for the benighted company.
Indeed. They launched Starliner a few days ago. Two astronauts successfully put into orbit up to the International Space Station. And they're due to come back in the same capsule, if you call it that, in a couple of days' time. So it's very successful.
Now, tell me about Starliner. What exactly is it?
Well, it's a $4 billion device to replace what was once the shuttle. The shuttle is grounded a long time. So they're doing it now. And it's sitting on the top of a Saturn V rocket, which is an old-fashioned piece of equipment now. They've launched 100 devices on it. And they put people onto it for the first time. And it worked. Now, it was the third attempt to launch the actual Starliner capsule, because there were leaks and bits and pieces, trouble with it.
So but is it small compared to the shuttle?
It looks a bit like what, you remember the astronauts went to the moon all those years ago?
Apollo,
yeah. And you've seen those in museums probably, as we all have. But it's not very big, it's not very comfortable. But they're up there in about 27 hours, so they can survive that long.
Okay, so when they're coming back in, they parachute in, is that it?
Yeah, yeah, the same thing again.
They don't land like the shuttle used
to land. No, nor do they land vertically like some of the new devices will do, because they haven't really been used for humans yet. They haven't just divided yet, but they'll re-enter in the normal way, and then the parachute then, but they're going to reuse the device again if it's up to
okay,
speed.
So they splash down like
yeah,
the old
splash
days.
Down, yeah, and it's a good, if it works it'll be very useful, because you can fly it without astronauts if you want to resupply the station, or you can use astronauts, and they'll try and fit three in, I think, eventually.
Now Elon Musk has a competitive vehicle.
He does, and the reason NASA's buying both services, as it were, is to try and keep the price down, because the actual cost of the shuttle towards the end was incredibly expensive, because it had to be rebuilt, and it was very inefficient in some ways, very efficient in other ways. But this is back to basics, I suppose. But with two companies, the prices are keener than they would be if NASA was doing it for themselves.
Mm. Now, it had a problem, though, after liftoff.
It did. I think it had a bit of a leak, is what they said. But it wasn't
a leak of what?
I'm not sure, actually. The gas was leaking, but it wasn't enough to stop them being pressurized, and they got as far as the space station, and they've repaired it now, and they'll get back. I presume the oxygen mask would fall down on your face if things went badly wrong.
Okay, so this is a success for,
yes,
for Boeing a very tough year.
Which they need, to be honest, like that. First of all, your typical little airliner, the small ones with propellers, would need maybe 300,000 parts. An A380, I've discovered during the week, has more than 4 million parts.
4 million
different parts like that. So keeping track of those, all of which have to be airworthy, by the way.
Yeah.
So Boeing would have a little bit less than that for their mainline aircraft, which are 767s, 777s, 787s. But let's concentrate on the 737 and the one that had the door plug.
Yeah,
Alaska Airlines. Yeah. Now, I didn't realise until last week that Boeing had actually paid out, or are going to pay out, $160 million to Alaska Airlines for the losses accruing by grounding the aircraft. And that's a big.
And I presume there would be sales losses. People
yes,
say, I'm
indeed.
Not flying with that crowd.
Exactly. And there are other airlines sort of queuing up and saying, well, look, we've got to have to ground our aircraft. We've got problems. People won't fly in them and that kind of thing. Please send us a few dollars or give us a special price on the new aircraft. And Boeing have had to deal with that. And there are people who are out in the open saying, look, they put profits. The company put profits and share value ahead of flight safety. And they've been doing it for years, even though they were fined by the Department of Justice for so doing after the
Now,
Max accidents.
This story is noted for its whistleblower.
Yes. And whistleblowers, they're not very popular. I don't care where they are, but unfortunately they never do well, no matter where they are, whether it's the Secret Service or the military or, in this case, the airline business. And this particular individual has moved from one 737 to 777 and then 767. So he's had a career that has not bloomed, I don't think. But some of what he had to say was of great interest to people like the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, and the NTSB, who examine aircraft accidents. And the NTSB criticised the FAA for saying you don't have permanent presence in all of the Boeing facilities, nor do you examine the people who supply them with parts like engines, like hydraulics, like fuselages for the aircraft.
I mean, there are critical elements to an aircraft design and construction, but there are also bits that probably don't need to be inspected, things like your dining tray.
That's right, and your seats and other bits
and your
pieces.
Screen that you're watching movies on.
These are things you can fly without, but it said that Boeing just didn't have the wherewithal to do it. It had huge supply chain problems during and after COVID, of course. And it looks bad in some ways, but it's not in other ways. And I've just had on the way in here, I had a look at the order books, you see. The great rival of Boeing, of course, is Airbus, as we know. They're based more or less in Toulouse, but they've got assembly lines in different parts of the world, including China and the USA itself for selling aircraft there. The Airbus order book is 8,626 jets, of which they will deliver 800 in 2024.
So we're talking about a 10-year order book, really.
Absolutely, and that's the point. Consider that now in terms of the environment. Those jet engines will need some kind of liquid fuel in 10 years' time when they arrive. Boeing are somewhat similar. They've got 6,259 jets on order, of which 77%, or 4,828, you do the maths, Pat, are 737. So they're a very successful aircraft, even though they're up against Airbus. So I wouldn't write them off from that point of view, regardless of how you pay for them.
Now, the chief executive of Boeing, I think it was the outgoing guy, I'm not sure he's
Mr. been Calhoun, he's due to leave, in fact, on a package in December of this
year. Didn't he talk about trade relations with China and beware of doing something that might impact?
He did, and it looks as if they may have bitten back, because China has just said, we don't want any more 737s now, because the batteries which run the cockpit voice recorders are actually faulty and are catching fire. Now, nobody else has pointed that particular problem out, not even...
So do you think it's just tit for tat?
I just wonder, is it like that? Because the certification, as I mentioned before, everybody recognised everybody else certification. That is not the case now. So if you have a new model of 737, for example, or Airbus, you've got to show the Chinese that it is at the right standard. So 737 deliveries to China, which was a big market, by the way, you'll see them in all parts of the skies of China, has been rescinded for a while until this thing is resolved. But you can never tell in China what exactly is going on.
No. I mean, maybe the batteries in the 737s are actually made in China.
Well, it's possible, yes.
So many batteries are. I mean, BYD, the new motoring brand that we're seeing in Ireland, they're a huge manufacturer of batteries.
They were indeed,
with.
And they still are. So you just wonder about these things. A lot of the parts of Boeing's are flown in. And there was a time when all the tails of 737s were made in China, the complete units, and they're put on barges across the Pacific and put together in Seattle. You know, I'm not sure if that's still the same case. But
Is there a Chinese competitor for Airbus and Boeing?
Yes and no, but it hasn't been. It's only been certified at very small levels in China at the moment like that. And they, until such time as it is brought to CAC, it's brought it to a full, until it gets an American certification and until it gets a European.
So even if it's only going to sell out in the Far East,
and it will probably because of the way they can market these things like that.
I mean, still need the reassurance of an American certification.
They do, and they need, for example, an appropriate spare parts backup, because of course flying hours need you need servicing, you need people who can do it, and you need the component parts which will get you out of an emergency. If, for example, a 737 goes down, they have a thing called the AOG, aircraft on the ground, and the part is taken with the technician to fix this as soon as possible, no matter where it might be in Europe or the world.
So, Kevin, how are we fixed in terms of all that low carbon fuel that will be required? I mean, I know there's a lot of research going into
it. There is. But we're going to need hundreds of millions of litres. And it's a problem. As I mentioned, if you were able to make... Boeing, for example, are making one 737 a day. They want to ramp that up to 38. They want to make it maybe 50 per month at the end of this year, early next year, like that. It still gives you 8 to 11 years of production. So the bits you're going to order will be delivered on a Friday in 2035.
Yeah.
It will need liquid fuel. How do we get it? Because digging it out of the ground and having a fossil fuel is not good news. We have scientifically put together alternatives for that, but how we get it, how we make it in the volume required.
And isn't there a problem then that it might be food or fuel? You've got a certain amount of land.
Yeah, there is a problem like that, and yet the demand to fly is getting bigger and bigger. Now it's still only 2.2% of the world's carbon. So I said before in this program, if we grounded all of the airplanes, and I've been on 5 of them in the last 7 days or so, if we grounded them all and did away with flying and gave it up and started swimming or taking trains or whatever we have to do, we'd save 2% like that. You can open a power station in a different part of the world burning coal or some other fossil fuel, and it negates all that. So it's still quite good. There's a huge investment too in airports to make them carbon neutral, and that is working quite well, electric and so forth. But we will not have electric airplanes capable of flying from London to Perth, for example, non-stop, not for quite some time yet.
Yeah, because to get the kind of energy into a small enough battery to fit in a plane.
Indeed, and the calorific value of fuel is well known. I suspect, as I said to you before, and you said it yourself, that maybe hydrogen fuel cells in the back of the aircraft, which would turn the turbines, which will give us something as to what we have now, and being as carbon neutral as we can. But in the short term, we're going to use, you know, sustainable aviation fuel. We just need lots of it. Now, Ireland can lead, I think, in that way, because we have people who can make the stuff. UK will do the same, parts of Europe. But when you see the volumes being topped up, it was on a 737 yesterday.
Ireland ain't big enough to,
it's not big
to
enough,
grow it all.
And it took about 15 tonnes of the stuff, and the tanker is empty, so you have to refill it like that. And there were 40 737s in Stansted last night. 40, you know, flying hither and thither like that. And that doesn't include Heathrow, where I was beside on Wednesday night, and they had huge aircraft, wide bodies, minute after minute after minute, landing on runway 27.
Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Expert. Thank you very much
Thank
for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.